Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 12 that we were reading earlier in the meeting. And let's unite our hearts together at the throne of grace in prayer. Our gracious God and our Father, we thank Thee that we can come into God's most holy presence. And like the hymn writer, we review our ways, and we thank Thee as we do so, we see 10,000 monuments of praise. And our Father, we look back across this year that has just gone into eternity, and we thank Thee for all Thy mercies. But Lord, we thank that Thy mercies are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness, and Thou art faithful today, and Thou art able to speak today. And we thank Thee that Thy word reminds us today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. And Lord, that is a word that we need to hear this evening. We ask that Thou would speak to everyone and shut us in with Thyself as we open up the precious Word of God, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Let us just go back in our mind's eye to the times of ancient Egypt. And Israel had just endured a long period of hardship and cruelty as the slaves of their Egyptian masters. But this night that we have read of in Exodus chapter 12 is the hour of their deliverance. We think of the poor slave families as they sit in their little homes, their little shacks and their little hovels, waiting for God to move in and set them free. And as they sit, we read how in another part of the camp, God comes down and speaks to Moses, the man of God. And he was the man that God had ordained to be the deliverer. And the Lord said to Moses, "This month shall be the beginning of months unto you. It shall be the first day of the year to you." Up until this time, it is thought that the year began in autumn, because it is thought that God created the world at autumn time, or made the world so it was autumn time when the world came into being, so that there would be fruits to eat. Now God was changing the new year, and it was to be the month called Abib or Nisan. And God was changing the new year so that when these people, the children of Israel, were going to wake up, it was going to be the new year for them. But not only was it going to be a new year, but they were going to have a new life. The bonds and the shackles of their slavery were going to be broken, and the incarceration that they were under, the shackles were broken, and the captivity was set at naught, and they were going out of their bondage into the freedom that God had for them. So this was a glorious and a happy new year for the Israelite slaves. And we've just entered into a new year ourselves. We've said goodbye to 2005, never to see it again. And time marches on, and we've begun the new year of 2006. Now, we're all hoping that it will be a happy new year for us. We're hoping that things will go right, that things will progress, that things will be happier, and we'll have a more prosperous year in this year than we had in the last. And just as the children of Israel started out with a new life in their new year, thank God you too can start off with a new life. Thank God there can be new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those in our meeting who are not saved and on the road to a Christless eternity, you can have new life in the Lord Jesus Christ as you start 2006. The Lord said, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish." So if you're not saved tonight, this can be not only the first day of 2006, but it can be the first day of your new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're wanting. That's what we've been praying for. That's what we're longing for. We're longing, those of us that are saved here in this meeting, we are longing that you might enter into what Christ has and find that blessing of new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for a few moments tonight, we want to think about new life for a new year. And there are a number of things about the new life that the children of Israel had in the new year that I want you to see. The first thing is that there is the beginning of new life. You look at what it says in verse 2 there, which is our text. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. And God said this is going to be the beginning for you. And of course it was the beginning because it was the new year of Israel's liberation. They had broken the shackles and the chains of their Egyptian slavery. And the new year the Lord had ordained was to mark their freedom. They were free from the taskmaster's whip and free from those that would order them and dominate them and tell them what to do. And this new year can be a freedom for you in that sense too, because the shackles and the manacles of sin can be broken. And the Lord can set you free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And God can give you that new freedom. Maybe you say to me, but preacher, I have freedom. Well, you don't have the freedom that you think you have, because sin dominates the life of those that are on the road to a Christless eternity. And whether you know it or not, you go by the lusts and you go by the sinful habits and you're dominated by those things. And while you might think that you have a measure of freedom, sooner or later, sin will bring you down a path that you do not want to go. And sooner or later there are the habits that form, and many people get down into the habit of drink, or into the habit of vile temper, or into the habit of lust that get hold of them, or into the habit of drugs or something else, and those sins hold them, and they are indeed shackled, as literally as if there was a big chain around them. You cannot get free, but there is freedom. This is the message tonight. There is freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many who can stand and testify, and we've heard them in our meetings over the last year, those that have been dominated by drink, those that have been held by all sorts of things in their lives, and yet the Lord has set them gloriously free. And this can be a new year of liberation for you. Do you not want freedom? Freedom from the guilt? Freedom from the old sins that control you? Freedom from everything that will bring you down? Do you not want freedom? Man, woman, do you not want freedom today? You can have freedom. The Lord Jesus Christ. This year was the new year because it was a new year of liberation. And then it was a new year of separation, because they were to get free from Egypt. And Egypt in the Bible always speaks of the world. And the practices of Egypt were the worldly practices, and the worship and the religion of Egypt was a worldly religion, and there were abominations in the land of Egypt. But when the death angel came in, and when God began to lead the children of Israel out of that bondage, they were going out and separating themselves from the abominations of Egypt and from the worldly system and from the worldly domination. And thank God we can be separated from the filth and mire of sin. Because in your sin, you're in a filth. We're told in the Bible that we're all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in His sight. We're told that we're servants of corruption. Now that is God's verdict upon you. But you can be separated from those things, taken away from the filth, taken away from that which would defy you. And the Lord Jesus said in John 15 and verse 3, "Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." What did the Lord Jesus say about His church in Ephesians chapter 5? He said, "Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing." Oh, men and women, the Lord can separate you from the filth and the mire of sin. But you notice the basis on which they were set free. The basis was the blood. The basis, the only way of freedom was through the blood. The elders and the household leaders of every family had to take the blood, and they took it from the basin and dipped the hyssop in it, and they sprinkled the blood upon the doorposts and on the lintels of their houses. And then when the death angel passed over, he passed over every house that had the blood applied. And how do you obtain liberty and freedom this new year? Only through the blood. It's through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, for without shedding of blood there is no remission. The Lamb of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the New Testament we're told of the blood of the everlasting covenant. And He shed that blood there on Calvary's cross in order that you might be free. And the basis of freedom is in the blood. But the blood has got to be applied. It was no use if the blood was not applied to the doorposts and the lintels. For when the death angel came and passed through the land of Egypt that night, if he did not see the blood applied, then death entered in. Is Christ's blood applied to your heart? Is Christ's blood applied to your life? Oh, you know about it. You know the ins and outs and the technicalities of the gospel, if we could call it that. But you have to realize that unless the blood is applied, unless there's been that day in your life when you've come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, dear man or woman, you're lost. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And we notice that it is only through the blood, and the blood has to be applied. But it had to be the blood of a suitable lamb. It had to be the blood of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Men and women, it's only by the blood of Christ. There's no other blood that's without blemish and without spot. You cannot die in your own room instead. Otherwise, you die for all eternity. That's the only way that you can pay for your sin. It'll take an eternity of death to pay for the sins that you have committed and the sins that are in your heart. But thank God the blood of a suitable lamb is acceptable before God. It is the blood of the undefiled, the blood of the sinless sacrifice, and God will accept that blood. That is the way to new life. That is the beginning of new life. It is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed Lamb of Calvary. Now I hope that you know Him and that you trust in Him tonight. But not only do we see the beginning of new life, but I want you to notice the business of new life. You notice that when the children of Israel were set free, they weren't just set free to do nothing. Now turn with me over to Exodus chapter 13. And if you look at verses 21 and 22, you'll find what happened to the children of Israel when they went out of Egypt. And you know the story how that Pharaoh pursued them. And then God opened the Red Sea and they passed through. And then it says in verses 21 and 22 of Exodus chapter 13, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." And you'll notice that as the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud went before them, that the children of Israel were to follow that cloud. The cloud represented the Shekinah glory, or the dwelling presence of God. It was where God dwelt. And God was leading His people. And when we are free, we follow the Lamb. We follow our Savior. We follow after Him. And the point is made very specifically, if you turn again to Exodus chapter 40. And verse 36, because there we see how specifically God was leading the children of Israel as they went along. Look at chapter 40 and verse 36. It says, "And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up." So as they went, the cloud directed them. If the cloud went, they went. If the cloud stopped, they stopped. They were following the Savior. They only went where He wanted them to go. Now that is what is true of every child of God who is saved and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. We say with the hymn writer, "Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll follow, follow on. And that is what is true of every child of God. If we're really saved and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, then we will be followers of Christ. You know, there are those that preach a message that you have to do is say a wee prayer and say some kind of sinner's prayer, and that is you no matter what way you live after that. But salvation is more than that. Salvation is something that makes a difference. You'll have a new direction in your life. You'll have a new interest, and you will be following a different path. If you're not following a different path, what difference is there? Men and women, there will be something different. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ just now, your year will be different. Your future will be different. Your eternity will be different. You'll be on a different path. The Bible speaks about the door of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says that straight is the gate and narrow the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. But broad is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there are that go in thereat. And there are two ways to go. One leads to heaven and to home. The other leads to destruction. Now you say, how do I get on those roads? Well, you're on one of them. You're either on the road that leads to life, or you're on the road that leads to destruction. And if you haven't got off the road that leads to destruction, you're still on it. You have to come by the door. You've got to enter in. And there has to be a departure. There has to be a change. But your life will change. You'll follow a new master. And we notice here the basis of new life. But we notice the battle of new life. Because as the children of Israel followed the Lord, it didn't mean that everything was going to be easy, because as they followed the Lord, it wasn't long until they got into battles. We read about the Amalekites who lay along the way and laid wait for them and ambushed them and began to fight with them. And the Christian life is not an easy life. There are battles. We battle against the devil. We battle against the flesh. And there are battles that we undergo every day. But you know, while the road of a Christian is not easy in that sense, I'll tell you this, it is far easier than the road that leads to destruction. A great master, a loving master, a master who looks after us and leads us along the way. Men, women outside of Christ, your master is one who only wants your heart, who wants to bring you down to destruction. And the Lord Jesus declared that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is a great life. It's great to be saved. And aren't you glad you're saved tonight? If you're saved in this meeting, you're on the road that leads to life, that every day brings you closer. Every year that passes brings you closer to that day when you will be with Christ. And you'll be there for all eternity. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to be saved. We think of how the Apostle Peter spoke of the joy that he had when he was speaking to the people of Samaria in Acts chapter 5, verses 6 and 8. It declares this, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, and there was great joy in the city. Oh, there are battles, all right. But in the midst of the battles, in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the difficulties, what has the child of God got? Joy. Real joy. Wonderful joy. Because Jesus has come into our hearts. The prophet Isaiah said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stead on thee." Now, there are battles, all right, but you have perfect peace. Do you have peace that as you lay down your head tonight, and if that head was never to rise off the pillow again, would you have peace? Do you have peace as you travel along life's pathway? As you go day by day, do you have peace? There is peace. You can have peace for a new year. A new life of peace. A new life of joy. A new life of blessing. That's what God promises to those that know and love Him. But then not only do we think of the beginnings of new life, And we think of the business of new life, following the Lord, but we think of the blessings of new life. Because where was the journey that the children of Israel started on? Where was it going? Well, it was going to the land of promise. It was going to the land that God had prepared for them. And we are told in the Bible about the beauties of that land. And when they eventually reached the land, we're told that they sent in spies to see if it was all that the Lord had told them it was. And the spies came back, and in Numbers chapter 13, they said to Moses, "We came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey." We are told that they said that it was a land of hills and valleys. It was a land of great blessing, a land in which they could rest. Now, they had had no rest before. They were a people without a land. But now they came into this better land and was to be their land. You know, the Lord Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you." There's a prepared place for a prepared people. We think of Abram, who journeyed through this life. And we're told of Abram in the book of Hebrews, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. There is a land of pure delight where saints immortal reign. Are you going there? Are you on the journey to that place? Old Richard Baxter, the old Puritan, said, "My knowledge of that life is small. The eye of faith is dim. But it's enough that Christ knows all, and I shall be with him." And that is what is the hope of every child of God. We don't know everything. We can't answer all the questions. But all we know that Christ knows all, and we will be with him. We will be with him. We have the assurance of that in our Bibles and in the Word of God. We will be with him. You know, it is said that up in the Alps at times, when you're up high, where the atmosphere is thin, and you look down, you can see far distant villages, and you can see the very panes in the windows. But if you start out to go there, it takes a long time, for it's miles and miles away. It just seems so clear that it just looks as if it's so near at hand. And then at times the mists come down, and you can't see hardly anything. But the distance is still the same. Even though it is clear sometimes, and you can see it, and then sometimes the mists come down. But it's the same distances. You know, sometimes God's people, we get those times when we, as it were, can look into heaven. We can, as it were, see the pearly gates. And then there are other times when the mists come down and we can't see anything and it seems so gloomy and so enshrouded in darkness. But it's the same distance. And one day we'll get there if we're trusting in the Lord. You know, old D.L. Moody, the American evangelist, once told the story about some fishermen on the shores of the Adriatic Sea. And it used to be the practice in times of storm that when the men were out fishing, if the storm brewed, that the ladies, the womenfolk, their wives, would go down to the seashore, and with their sweet voices in the night they would sing the verses of a beautiful hymn, or the first verse of a beautiful hymn. And then they would listen, and they would hear the second verse coming across the sea. It would have been the men folk, and they were joining in, and they were both happy then. And though they were tossed in the gale, the women folk knew that the men were there, for they heard the sound from across the sea. You know, sometimes it is as if we listen very carefully, we can hear the sound from across the River Jordan. And it is as if the loved ones are calling us to that place of happy bliss. And we hear the sweet echoes. We hear the voice and the still and the sweet and the lovely voice of the praise of heaven itself. And we look up and we realize that heaven is a blessed place.
But are you going there? Are you on the road? You see, this can be a new life. A new life journeying to an even better life. An eternal life. And thank God tonight that there is a blessed, a time of happiness, a time of peace. And who will enter there? Those that are washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. So are you saved tonight? There is new life for a new year. You can get on a new road. A road of happiness. A road of blessing. A road of peace. You can get on it through the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed Lamb of Calvary. Come to Him. Trust in Him. And He will wash your sins away and give you His righteousness and give you His salvation. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we do thank Thee for the foretaste that we have of heaven. We thank Thee, Lord, for those times when in the stillness we hear something of the glories of heaven. And Lord, those times when it seems so clear, when our God, our spiritual vision, as it were, can look up to the very courts of glory and see the pearly gates. Lord, it seems so close. But, O God, we thank Thee that we're journeying to that place. We thank Thee for everyone who is on the road this evening. We're going to that city which eye has never seen. We're going to that country whose shores are evergreen. So, our God, we pray that we might, every one of us, know that we're on the road, that we might have new life in this new year, a life of blessing, a life of peace, a life of joy. Write Thy word upon our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. And if God has